Any apologies today?
We've got an apology from the minister. She is attending a women's project in ours in Mpumalanga.
Oh.
Maybe they are closing the month. Committed with the party work.
Yeah. Thank you. Mam Kakaza.
Morning, Chair, and how are you?
Very well, thanks, Mam Zondi. Unjani wena?
Ikhona tata Nkosi. I've got only one apology from UDM Kapa. He's going to join the meeting, but he's going to leave early. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you to our secretariat for the apologies tendered. Honorable members, let us welcome the officials of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. Also the DG, Itate Ramasodi, as well as the distinguished guests that have joined us on this portfolio committee meeting of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. Molweni, Dumelang, Khuyamore. Good morning on this cold winter day. I wish to greet all of you in the name of peace, justice, and human rights for all. 28 years into our democracy, we can say confidently and with confidence that land reform is irreversible. And as His Excellency President Nelson Kolisa Shamande reminded us, I quote, our land reform program helps redress the injustices of apartheid, close quote. Each land reform project that we undertake reminds us that our long walk to freedom
recording
is
in
far
progress
from over. We are always reminded of that dreadful period in our history when the South African Native Lands Act was passed in 1913, and as Saul Polaki uttered these historic words, I quote, awaking on Friday morning, June 20th, in 1913, the South African native found himself not actually a slave, but a pariah in the land of his birth, close quote. Unfortunately, despite giant leaps since the dawn of our democracy, land alienation and land hunger and the need to advance land reform and land restitution still remains with us. You will recall, honorable members, that the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development kick-started its week-long oversight visit to Gwaju in the Eastern Cape, where there is a contestation on land ownership. The committee first met with His Majesty King Dalimvula and the Matanzima royal family in Khoda, that is the Western Tembuland, where it had from the late Nkosi Ngango Mhlaba the historical account of the displacement of communities from Gwaju. Thereafter, the committee was briefed by the national and provincial departments of agriculture, land reform and rural development. The committee heard from the ministry and the department, particularly from Honorable Squatcha, that the work of the department was hindered by violence and threats against officials by some of the members of the community when it attempted to do research by visiting households in the area to gather information. The committee, honorable members, also heard that there was no legitimate communal property association in Kwaku, and that the department had tried to intervene to meet with the members of the community, but that was unsuccessful. We were also informed that when the department visited Kwaku, in order to determine who are the rightful land rights holders, it was found that there were people who had their own agenda to own the land with the intentions of using it for their own benefit. The Commission of Restitution of Land Rights informed the committee that there were land claims for Kwaku from Amachatu Traditional Council. However, the commission discovered that the land claims did not meet the 1913 cutoff date. Honorable members, the former farm workers and labor tenants also have beneficial occupation rights to the land. The committee heard that the status quo in Kwaku is complex, but with the assistance of the Department of COCTA, Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, which confirmed the land belongs to Amachatu Traditional Council since the coronation of the chief in 1982. We therefore, honorable members, want to reiterate, as we did during our oversight, that the rejection of claims of on land by any of the communities throughout the landscape of South Africa to their ancestral land on the basis of the 1913 cutoff date is a gross injustice to the people of Kwaku and rural communities throughout South Africa, and that the 1913 cutoff date must be reviewed for the benefit of our people and our communities. I therefore want to take this opportunity in welcoming the DG and the officials of the department to take us through the responses or mapping a way forward in terms of giving to the portfolio committee an update on the implementation of the plan to revitalize Kwaku farms and responses to the recommendations which were made by the portfolio committee on the oversight visit report to Kwaku farms in the Eastern Cape. I now hand over to the DG, Ntate Ramasodi. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. And let me also thank the MRAPA, who's also on the platform for the engagement today. Chair, as you had articulated the issues, one would not add, but also thank the opportunity that we had to visit Kwaku and also take a very good oral history from the late king, from the late chief Nkosi Nomhlaba Mathanzi on the issues that are plaguing Kwaku and the issues that should be as part and parcel of the land rights inquiry in that area. Chair had also raised an issue around the cut-off date of 1913, which is something that has got to be looked at from a perimeter. Outside the department, I think in engagements of the portfolio committee with the minister and the engagements on how do we deal with that issue. We are now going to give a presentation on the work that has been done post the visit of the portfolio committee to Kwaku. I have got to say there's been one of those difficult tasks, especially in terms of engagement based on the hostilities that are there in the area And part of our report would reflect on this. We also reflect on the work that we have done as instructed by the portfolio committee to have a multidisciplinary team that would look at a plethora of issues and how far we have progressed on those issues. We will also reflect on the recommendations that were made by the portfolio committee on agricultural and reform and rural development and how we are processing those areas. With that, I would like to request that Dr. Ralph projects the presentation. And what I will do, Honorable Chair, because the person who we had tasked to report had already done a report, but I will talk to the report so that it reflects on the issues that we as a department were supposed to do. Thank you very much. If you can go to the beginning of the slides, please. I've just gone through the outline for the presentation. If we can go to the next one. The background, I think, as painted, was already painted by the Honorable Chair of this Portfolio Committee. And summarizing, can we go on to the presentation mode, please, in that era, and go to slide three? We reflect on the oversight that was conducted by this portfolio committee on agriculture, land reform and rural development in the area of Gwaju from the 31st of January 2022 to the 4th of February 2022. We have taken the engagement, starting from engagements with the traditional leadership in the area and also engaging with the community on the issues that we have had. Subsequent to that, we had as a department, honorable members, submitted two documents that were requested by this portfolio committee. The first one was the land audit report of 2015, which was compressed with the land rights inquiry of 2017. That document was submitted in March of this year and gave a reflection of how the department would have done that inquiry and also the audit. However, what was very important at that stage was to also realize that for us, in order to conclude the land rights inquiry, we needed to also go back to the community and validate some of the areas that we have had. One of the areas that we also had to validate was the oral history that we were given by Ngosi Matanzi on the issue around Amachachu and how this would need to be reflected in that land rights inquiry, because at that stage, as the presentation was made, Honorable Chair would recall that the work that was done would have been devoid of this good oral history that we had. We also made sure that Honorable Chair, on bullet number four, that we have got a narrative report that reflects on the work that we have done. And I think for me, that is a reflection in terms of the work done. Now, this presentation takes into consideration all of the areas around Annex A on a one-on-one basis. I will then do that presentation, Chair, having looked at these issues and having had a reflection on that. There are areas where, Chair, I may just have to talk to the issues and ensure that there is a better way of following. I think in Annex A, it reflects even better because you have got a recommendation and the recommendation will have a response, but for the purpose of ensuring that we can show it, we have separated the recommendation and the responses, but in essence, if you read them side by side, they read better. And I think that honorable members who have got the report, that's the way that I will go through that report for ease of reference. Now, when we look at recommendations, the first recommendation was 6.1 in terms of the report that we have from ourselves was that the department, in collaboration with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs at both national and provincial level, must provide clarity with regard to the ownership and allocation of Gwaju farms or the lack thereof to Amachachu Traditional Council at the time of the re-establishment of the recognition. Sorry about that, with the noise behind, Honorable Chair. There is an event of celebrating the role of women in the department. We are just putting it out. There's a little bit of noise. Sorry about that. The Portfolio Committee had advised that this matter must also be reported to Parliament around the outcomes of the process. Now, I would like to reflect, Honorable Chair, that the Guatu Land Rights Action Plan was drafted and concluded, and subsequent to the hostilities and intimidation that the department had by some members of the community, the department could not go back and finalize on this. It is, however, tried at this moment to indicate that the department has reached an agreement with the South African Police Service that there would be an escort of the department officials just to conclude this work, and this work would be resuming in the first week of September 2022. Now, this is very important because according to the information that is at hand, the issue that is troublesome is this issue around the land rights inquiry. I can report that departments of agriculture and rural development in the province have been doing assessments in and around Guatu, and we have not had reports in terms of intimidation, but when it comes to this conclusion of this work, that's where we had serious engagements with the police just to ensure that our colleagues who are going to do this work are protected. Now, the issue around the Amachachu Traditional Council, the issue is currently in the office of the Premier, and the Premier together with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs will be able to guide on the engagement with the Traditional Council. And I'll come back to this when I come to the responsibilities that were given by the Portfolio Committee on the work that we need to do. So that recognition in and around the tasking that was given for 6.1 would be now firmly settled with the engagement. Can we go to slide 3 that we have? Yeah, because that's where we are. The next one, next slide, slide 5, I think. Sorry about that. Yes. Those are the areas that we have already covered. You can go to slide 4. Next slide. Next slide. Yes, this is the area that I was talking to. Sorry about that, Honorable Chair. I didn't see that you are not on the same. Next slide, slide 7. Thank you very much, Ralph, for that. In terms of that slide 7, the biggest issue that was there in 6.2 in the bigger text, Chair, is that the Chair and the Portfolio Committee had requested that we need to have an inclusive meeting involving the community and the Amachachu Traditional Council and relevant local stakeholders in the area in order to conclude on the land rights inquiry and that we find a lasting solution. I think, as I have reflected earlier of the challenges that we have had, a similar response in terms of 6.1 is applicable because the engagements would then be from the first week of September. I think we will have to reflect on this on a weekly basis so that we can be able to reflect with the Portfolio Committee. Next slide, Dr. Rao. The next one was around the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development to ensure that we engage with other departments. In this case, the Department of Water and Sanitation, the Department of Human Settlements, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and Basic Education, Mineral and Energy to provide basic services to the people of Guatu. And the portfolio committee would recall that when we came back from Gwaju, we had, from an agriculture point of view, submitted a plan that we thought it would be a plan that would be very good for us to start with. But when we met with the other departments on the 14th, 17th, and 21st of February and the 3rd of March, there was a view that was shared that while we have got something that we can go on, what we need to do as the joint departments that we would have is to reflect on the work that needs to be done in and around the area. And that is a very important aspect to say. We agreed at those meetings that each and every department would have what we call an assessment, a needs assessment in and around that area that would need to be endorsed by the community themselves, because of the saying that says nothing about us without us. And therefore, we need to go back to the community and show that the community is part and parcel of the needs assessment as we rank them, as we ensure that we execute as different departments. There is also an engagement that the head of our PSSC in the Eastern Cape, where he had to go and meet with King Dalimvula of the Western Tableland to discuss the development matters. Now, top of those issues in this is around debushing, because there's a lot of bush encroachment. And also there is an arable land close to 50 hectares that would require production in and around Kamata, where we have also have an irrigation scheme. So the current assessment that I referred to by the Provincial Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform would basically catalyze the work that needs to be done and identify opportunities from a business point of view that exist within that particular area. The portfolio committee was very emphatic to say that we need to place a moratorium on all the leases in Gwaju. So first to speak to say that we need to have a standstill on any lease agreements in Gwaju. And we would like to indicate that already on the 16th of October in 2020, we had put a moratorium on the allocation of the 35 properties that were identified in Gwaju. This is to an extent of 25,000 hectares. So that has been put on hold in order to ensure that as we move in unison, and we can be able to deal with this issue. And quite interesting in terms of those lease analysis would also be reflected in terms of the grand plan that would be for Gwaju. Next slide. There is an issue around how do we amend the legislation, Honorable Chair, to deal with the issues around land administration and also tenure reform, especially in the communal spaces. This year, in May 2022, there was what we called a land summit, and the land summit agreed on almost resolutions that would be utilized to look at the policy space and also look at the legislative space to ensure that we deal with the issues around land administration and in the communal spaces. This is very important because without that alignment, we are bound to have challenges as raised by the chair to say continually in the spaces where we have got traditional leaders, we will have discussions on the administration that is there. We have taken note of the resolutions, and I think that at the right time, called by the portfolio committee, and after having those processes through cabinet, we will be able to come and report on those, because it's very important on the resolutions plus on the outcomes of the very same engagement. We also have got work that we are doing around the deeds office, Honorable Chair, which is very important for all of us to know that the amendment of the deeds registration has commenced. And what we envisage to do is to record or have a recorder of informal rights where we have got to discuss them under section 62B of the Restitution Act, so that we can bring it down to the level of the disc registration. And I would like to go on to two critical areas, Chair, that are of importance in terms of the Restitution Act. One, which says that the Commission may, at a meeting or through the Chief Land Claims Commissioner, the Regional Claims Commissioner, or a person designated by such a commissioner, they can make recommendations to give advice to the minister regarding the most appropriate form of alternative relief, if any, for those claimants who do not qualify for the restitution of life in terms of the land, in terms of this act. And this touches base on the issue that Honorable Chair had raised earlier on what do we do on other areas that we had identified post-1913. So we're making those decisions. The second one is around the powers that minister has for consideration of land reform programs, such as land tenure reform and land tenure programs, where we reflect that the Commission is currently working as instructed with Tenure and Implementation Systems Directorate just to validate the land claims in line with the restitution criteria in terms of Section 2 of the very same Act. And therefore, from that analysis that we have, there would be these issues like the one that we are raising the question, that would surface for it to be carried forward in the right platform and under the right discussions, so that it's something that is following a program or even a process, whatever the chair, that would be agreed by all. The next slide, Ralph. We need to reflect, and I think that maybe that's not the right way in terms of brokering with the Office of the Premier. The Office of the Premier was there with the Portfolio Committee. They were right through the engagement there with the Portfolio Committee. But we have engaged with the Office of the Premier in assisting with the coordination and even in terms of the work that we are currently doing. As previously indicated, there has to date been three meetings that were held in terms of the priority areas that we have for different departments that are involved. And we have got a very short indication of how we are progressing in this space, Chairperson, because each and every department would have the responsibility that they would be responsible for. And it's quite important that maybe we look at the key focus areas where they said that they would be addressing the structural issues and even infrastructure issues in Guachu. Now, for the priority areas of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, we refer to that intervention plan that we had shared, which we will also revise to reflect on the needs assessment once we conclude them here in September. But I would like to refocus the few issues that at a local level, there is basic bulk infrastructure that the Chris Hani and the Enoch Mgijima municipalities would be looking at. From a Department of Agriculture in the provincial space, we have got what we call the Guachu Resource Plan, which is currently partially concluded, and will be concluded the session that we will have with the people of Guachu in the first week of September. From the Department of Social Development, they have concluded the community profiling, and therefore they would be able to then finalize this in our meeting on the first week of September. But the profiling has been concluded. We also looking at poverty alleviation program and youth employment. At this moment, there are a variety of interventions that we can do. But what we have identified for now is through our NARISEC program, where we commit, and we have committed that we will be recruiting. The next recruits that we'll have for 2023-2024 will be from Gwaju in the main, so that we can be able to alleviate the issues or the pressure points that Gwaju is having. Now, our NARTEC program has changed slightly from what the offer that we have had. Now, what we do with the NARTEC program is that once we have given people an opportunity to go and study, we also support their businesses of choice once they conclude from the NARTEC program. And we think that we will be able, through that program, to alleviate the situation that the portfolio committee had seen in Gwaju. We are still awaiting a few plans, which we will get through the office of the PSSC, a few plans from Basic Education, Department of Basic Education, Department of Health, and the Department of Human Settlements and Transport, where they would make a commitment into the integrated plan. And I think that once we have got this, we'll be able then to move as one. The next one. We're also looking at the way that those recommendations would be dealt with, Honorable Chair, that we would deal with them through the DDM as already working within that program, and how we deliver on the DDM per se. We have taken heed of the portfolio committee's guidance on how we deal with the budget issues, taking into consideration the community itself, the traditional authority, and various stakeholders that are on the table. And therefore, as we adopt the report, this assessment report, we will be looking at all the stakeholders to ensure that all of their needs are taken into consideration, and the ranking and finalization of the needs assessment would be done based on the community needs. Next one, Dr. Ralph. We would like to thank the portfolio committee, firstly, for the work and the guidance given around Gwaju. We would like to indicate that the report that we had on the draft land audit report is with the portfolio committee, as indicated earlier on. We will finalize it once we go to see the community. We have had engagements with Kindalimvula on the issues of importance. We have put a moratorium on the leasing of possible farms in Gwaju, so we are on standstill in terms of Gwaju. The issue around engaging at a broader level, at DDM level, with other departments has been looked at, and we are also looking at the broader policy and legislative space as instructed, and we have already started extracting whether it's dealing with the Communal Land Tenure Bill and also Communal Land Tenure Policy. We are working on that, and we are also looking at the amendment of the Deeds Registration Act. We would like to then pause at this point, Honorable Chair. From the departmental side. With me today, I've got Mr. Thirin Dove, who's responsible for this program, and the other colleagues will be able to assist us in terms of the responses relating to Gwaju. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee.
Thank you, DG, Dr. Ramasodi, for the presentation, highlighting and giving an update on the implementation of the plan to revitalize Gwaju farms and the recommendations, therefore. Honorable members, before we get underway, let me welcome the Honorable Deputy Minister Squatcha, who has joined the meeting and is on the platform. DM, any input on your side on what the DG has already put before the committee? Honorable Squatcha. it seems is not on the platform, DG. We'll move on. Honorable members, let us move on. Seem to be echoing now. And I ask everyone to mute their microphones. If we can all mute our microphones, thank you. Honorable members, we'll then proceed with the questions of clarity on the presentation we've received from the DG. Honorable Kape, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, and morning to the Mkapa, the DG, and the team, my colleagues. Chair, I'm struggling a bit with network here at the village in the mother city, but I would request your indulgence on my video. Chair, let me welcome the progress made thus far. It gives a bit of comfort that the department could take the recommendations of the portfolio committee and come back to us with the progress report. In as much as they have initiated implementation of this recommendation, there are a few issues that we would need clarity on so that we are on the same level of understanding. My first question, Chair, is on slide 6, where there's a recommendation of collaboration with COCTA to deal with the traditional Council of Amatachu and their recognition by the Eastern Government Department. The slide says the recognition of traditional Council by Eastern Cape Government should be preceded by finalization of land rights of the different categories of people on the land. I just want to find out, I need clarity, what does this mean? Does this mean the council is not recognized yet? And given the presentation that states that such recognition should be preceded by completion of the land rights confirmation of people on which land, is there no land that the traditional council is currently in charge of? That will be my first question, Chair. The other one, Chair, is on skills development. You will remember the plight of the youth of Amatachu, of the children of Kwachu. I'm sitting here and recalling the youth that cried and said, we don't even know a laptop until you get to university. Now, the department is saying they'll only include them on NARISEC recruits next year. I want to understand from the department, from their need analysis and social profiling that they reported that is complete, how many will they be recruiting from Kwachu? And except for NARISEC, what about other youth programs? Which youth programs are they intending to coordinate? Well, I don't think it will be fair that the youth in Kwachu must just wait for NARISEC recruitment last year. I understand that other departments still have to come on board, but issues of youth should be mainstreaming across departments. What other programs are in line for the youth of Kwachu? My last question, sir, I want to understand from the minister on issue of policy discussion, or what is the thinking with regard to claimants who did not meet the 1998 closing date? And in line with the interdict of all new order claimants, what is the policy discussion in the ministry and the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights? Will there be a reopening again? If not, what is the minister going to do with all the claims that are sitting in the commission and cannot be dealt with due to this interdict that we are all aware of? And what were the outcomes of the recent land tenure conference, which this committee could not participate because we are on oversight? I just want to understand, because we have touched on this on policy framework, and it was issues of further providing clarity with regard to options available for these people in Gwacho who does not meet the 19-day claim into because of this restitution. So I just want to understand around this policy, what is the thinking in the ministry? How are they going to deal with it, with this piling commission claims that cannot be attended to? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mathape. Honorable Mbabama.
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, I must say that unlike Metlape, I am not impressed with the progress of the department so far, because even this progress has only started after the intervention of the portfolio committee. So really, you know, it's like we're praising a fish for swimming or a bird for flying. This should have happened a long time ago. The DG is talking about a land audit report, and the dates are 2015, a land rights action plan that was done 4 years ago, 2017, and yet nothing has come of it up to today. I'm really not impressed at all. And the fact of putting intimidation as an excuse is really below the belt. I think it is not, it shouldn't be used as an excuse as well, because I'm very, I know very well what happened when that intimidation was done in Gwacho. It was only a once-off thing. Besides the time that we were intimidated, it was only a once-off thing. And that could have been resolved quickly, and the department could have carried on with their duties. So they can't be using this as an excuse. And then the intervention plan by the departments, the different departments, the DG has listed a number of departments here, but out of all these departments, the majority of them have not yet submitted anything, which means that there is no sense of urgency in terms of Gwacho. And I feel that the department should be chasing the other departments to make sure that they deliver on these plans as soon as possible. And you know, we don't even have to wait. For instance, a department like the Department of Transport is very, very crucial, because there are no roads in Gwacho. So don't wait until everybody has actually submitted plans. Why doesn't the department identify critical departments that are needed now, like the Department of Transport, where we know that we will be starting with the roads, which hamper a lot of development in Gwacho. And then, Chair, I'm not quite sure what the DG means by a moratorium on leases in Gwacho. I don't think there have been new leases in Gwacho, and I stand to be corrected. I don't think there have been new leases in Gwacho. So putting a moratorium really, to me, is neither here nor there. And I see that there's also a recorder system. What is this recorder system going to be based on? Have they done research on the recorder system of informal rights for people on Gwacho? And is it really a priority, seeing that most of the properties in Gwacho are already in the deeds office? Those are farms. That is not communal land. The communal land, if any, is very little in Gwacho. What is there are farms. So what is the recorder system that is going to be done under the Deeds Registration Act going to assist the people of Gwacho? What we need to do is to identify the farms and give back the land to the people of Gwacho, because it's already in the Deeds Office. I also agree with Metlape on NARISEC. Wonderful plans to have NARISEC, but they should have done that a long time ago. NARISEC has been here.
the youth of Gwaju has been here for a long time. It's not like they've just sprung up today. This should have been done a long time ago. But again, this is another low-hanging fruit whereby we should be talking to other departments and saying, what do you have for the youth that we can use immediately? For instance, the other day, Premier Mabuyane in the Eastern Cape was talking about an Isiqalo fund where they assist young people for farming, for hair salons, for car washes, and all other kind of businesses, chickens, piggeries, etc., etc. Why are we not getting together with all these departments and try to find a solution for Gwaju that will be something that we can implement immediately, not next year or in 2025. Table 4, the task plan, all the days are behind us. I would like the department to tell me whether this means that the tasks have been completed already, because it doesn't say so on the plan. It's still showing April, March, and all those dates that are behind us. And in the development plan, I would really like to know what the budgets are based on. You know, if we had had some kind of justification for the budgets, because it is very easy to put 45,000 there and 95,000 and 20,000, but what is it based on? Are these estimates? Are these thumbsucks? Is this are these informed figures, or did we just put figures for the sake of the portfolio committee? Chair, I will stop there for now.
Thank you, Honorable Mbabama. Honorable Mamuchwete.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies. I'm not sure if I should put on my video. The network is not too stable where I am.
You look beautiful, Honorable Chairperson. You look beautiful.
Ngate Matias, order.
Thank you, Honorable Matias. Chair, allow me to switch off the video just for proper connectivity. Mind chair.
Go ahead.
Is on the land right inquiry. On this issue of Gwaju, chair, I'm really not satisfied with the pace that the department is moving. The land right inquiry was done in 2017, and it's 2022 now, and it's not yet completed. I'm saying this, chair, that is not yet completed based on the presentation that they submitted to us, saying there is a community meeting that is still outstanding. And there was intimidation of the government officials, and it could not proceed. We get that, Chair. We heard that. I must applaud also that the department roped in States, South African Police Services. But since then, Chair, what happened? This has been a long outstanding since 2017. It can't be further delayed. It does not make sense for me. What happened? After that, I believe there's nothing to, unless the department can take us through that, there have been attempts, but there's nothing that says there have been attempts later on. On the issue of youth development, I'm really worried. There are a lot of government institutions that are willing to assist. Maybe, Chair, as a comment, I can advise the department, instead of just looking or just knocking at the door of NYDA and NERSAC for youth development. There was in the committee meeting, the youth stated that the first time that they see a computer is when they go to tertiary institution. maybe Chair, the department should also approach the department. There's an institution called NEMISA. NEMISA is doing wonderful programs in training young people. Maybe I should also, maybe the department should also go there. I made notes, Chair. Now I'm trying to look at the notes. Oh, also one more thing, Chair. The DM, the Deputy Minister Thapa, during a committee meeting, she committed that she will go back to the Gwaju and try and see what how can the department assist. I just want to know, maybe Chair, how far is that? Has the DM went there? Are there any other intervention that they did in Gwaju as a department? For now, Chair, can I pass, Chair? But I know for a fact that I have two more questions that I noted, but I cannot find it. Can I come back and have a bite without delaying the meeting?
Thank you, Honourable Treasurer. The Honourable Ntate Matiaka, I see Deputy Minister Makapa. The hand up. If I may request that we take the round of questions from honourable members, then we'll afford the DM Mama Papa an opportunity before we get to the responses from the officials. You may proceed in Ntate Matiaka. Ntate Matiaka.
He is dumb.
Honorable Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly. You may proceed.
Okay, thank you so much. Greetings to you and your colleagues and the department. Look, Honorable Chair, just over 3 months we're on public hearings. And there are two words that I learned in KZN and Mpumalanga. The first word was ukufumbathisa. The other word I learned was ukukhohlisa. When one gets to receive reports such as this, shallow in detail and vague, general in substance, one gets reminded of the two words, ukufumbathisa, ukukhohlisa. And I will caution that let's stop misleading and deceiving one another, as this is what I detect in this report. And we cannot take this anymore. Look, Honorable Chair, the report says that the real work will only start in the first or second week of September, meaning no work has been done. That's the truth. Let the truth be told. And in slide 5 and 6, where the department says stakeholder engagement has not been fully concluded, is inconclusive as we speak, especially in relation to engaging people on the ground, regardless of their statuses, regardless of their identity, but they are people and they have to be listened to. And I've got the sense that that process has not even been started. It has not been started because the department lacks legitimacy to engage persuasively those stakeholders that they found problematic. And let me warn once more the officials in the department. And I will do so by borrowing from the Freedom Charter. It says, no government can justly claim authority unless it's based on the will of the people, close quote. And it will seem that for the department to seek the South African Police Service to escort them has got to do with lack of legitimacy. And how government loses legitimacy in the eyes of the people? What are the signs that one can show is when the leadership is afraid to meet with the people. It's when the government is afraid to meet with the people and can only meet with the people in the presence of the defense force or the police. So I'm saying, there's no report that we should be considering because no work has been done at all. And it is pointless to go slide by slide. It's pointless to go slide by slide. There's a lot that one can identify. But the fact that stakeholder engagement is inconclusive and the police service have been invited to escort government officials, and that government is the people, is disappointing. And I call on this meeting to reject this report because no work has been done for 6 months. And the department, for the first time, Honorable Chair, that it must be held accountable for not doing its work and to report falsely before the committee, because there's no work done so far if truth is to be told. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Matias. Honorable Akbar Breed.
Môre, voorzitter.
Goedemôre. Dit is baie goed, man.
Voorzitter, Chairperson, I don't think there's a better way or bettering what my colleagues have said. I think in terms of what the department has done, it is lacking. I think in terms of what the other departments, in terms of improvement in service delivery, et cetera, and the other departments that were included into actually bettering the lives of the people of Gwacha have done, they have failed. I think we should have 8 months after the fact, after we have gone there, after we have visited, we should have had a clear timeline. We should have had a clear deadline. And I think Honorable Matias and Honorable Mbabama said it clearly, nothing has been done. Chairperson, maybe just allow me to touch on three things that I just would like to reiterate. I'm not going to repeat what my colleagues said because they have sufficiently covered me. The one thing was with regards to the recognition of the traditional council. When we were in Gwacha, I remember one of the COCTA officials, it was a man if I remember correctly, quite a big, tall guy, that said he has a document in his possession of the Eastern Cape government or a department of COCTA that actually proves and shows that the Amatatu are a traditional council. So I would just like to maybe just extend that clarity that Honorable Tlape asked in terms of, is that traditional council not recognized yet? What was the finding? If we were informed that it was a recognized council, there was paperwork by the province, and now the department is saying that they're not recognized yet, that needs to precede anything being done. Just clarity on that. Chairperson, then in terms of SAPS as well, I think Honorable Mbabama covered that quite sufficiently, which means that the department has, I don't want to say lying to us, but maybe withholding all of the truth. We got that feedback report from Gwacha saying that SAPS was involved, that they were continually working with SAPS in December of 2021. When we were there in January, we were told SAPS is working with them, and now we're receiving a report that says we have only now finalized and will start working in September. So what was the status quo there? Because it seems like we were working, but then we weren't, and now we are working again. I just need clarity on that, Chairperson. I think the budget was sufficiently covered, and then just NARISEC or the Youth and Youth Development, Chairperson. I think that was, as seeing as Honorable Mashlatsi is not here, from a youth stance, maybe let me talk about that. Chairperson, I am extremely worried about the youth and youth development. I think we included, when we said in our resolution, or we did not include, but I think that was the meaning, when we said that we need a multi-department delegation, we need multi-department intervention in Gwacha. We can't just have Department of Agriculture look into this brick wall of NARISEC, and this is the option, and this is the way forward. Because I think as we've seen with NARISEC, as we've seen with the students that have gone through that process, if we have seen students, the problem they have in finding jobs after being in NARISEC, that is not a viable solution. That is not the thing that we can only look at. We need to see intervention from a Department of Education, from a Department of Higher and Basic Education, to see FET colleges, to see NISTFAS, to see a lot of those things, and I'm not feeling this, Chairperson. So I would like to find out from the department whether they have had engagements with the Department of Education, be it higher or basic, to actually see where we can broaden the horizons to assist these young people to actually find or create sustainable employment for themselves in the long run. Chairperson, and I would leave it at that. Thanks.
Thank you, Padre Britt. The Honorable Memasho.
What is happening?
Good
morning, Chair. I'm trying to put my video on. It is not working, but if the Chair allows me to carry on, I will say good morning to you and all my colleagues, including our officials from the department. Chairperson, I have only a slide, two questions, which I think somewhere, somehow, they were a bit covered. But I think for me to understand, the issue is all about collaboration with the COCTA, both at national and provincial level. I just wanted to understand that. My question would be that, can the official of the minister's office tell this committee if there are any proposals arising out of the communal land tenure? A communal land tenure summit, which was hosted by the deputy president, having an impact on the Gwachu farm. If there are, what does those plans entail? That is the question number one. Okay. The second question will be with regards to the. I have learned that the inclusive meeting involving community members with beneficial occupation rights was done, but I just wanted to understand if, in terms of the findings, is there any lasting solution on how the department is looking forward to in addressing the land claim dispute which is there? Or is there any evidence to support some of those land claims that the department is having? Those are my two questions, Chair, which one would like to understand from the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Memasho. Honorable Ntate Masipa.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to you and my colleagues. Chair, I just want to say first thank you to the DG. I will definitely like to agree with Member Bama that in as far as this presentation is concerned, there is no real progress that has been made. Chair, I'm just going to touch on the land rights inquiry. So, we were given many versions as to what's happening with the land rights inquiry. First, there was a report that the land rights inquiry was done in 2016. And then during Minister Nkwinti's term, and then we were told that no, the land rights inquiry was done, but has not been reduced into paper. And then now we get in the message that the recognition of the traditional council by the Eastern Cape government should be preceded by finalization of land rights of the different categories of the people on the land. I think the key question here, Chair, is that how far are we with the land rights inquiry? The department must really please and help us give us the correct version as to what is really happening with the land rights inquiry. Chair, you will recall Mr. Feni saying that you, the government of the nation, the government, you are worse than the Bantustan government. Chair, this is an indictment on us as the committee in terms of really ensuring that we do proper oversight. It's 7 months down the line, nothing has really happened. In terms of the report that we are receiving now here, we haven't, you know, there is no progress that has been made. The one other area, which is the COCTA, that we have highlighted while we were on the visit there, to say, is the Amachachu recognized through COCTA? In as far as this report that you are receiving, there is just no indication as to where is really the department with COCTA on this matter. So, Chair, I think we really have got a long way to go, but we definitely need to make sure that really we hold the department to account in terms of its role regarding the rural development, where it is supposed to be the provide the coordination at rural level in terms of infrastructure and so forth. But it doesn't end there. It also requires a proper coordination between themselves and other departments in terms of delivering on the project. Chair, we had a chief director that left us in the middle of the meeting. Is the chief director here today to answer, really to give us maybe, you know, what has been happening on the ground? Because, Chair, really, let's just be honest. SAPS cannot really be held back because there are some hostilities on the ground in terms of doing their work. That's why they are there. They are there to really assist us in terms of managing those hostilities so that the department can do the job. Now, to be told here in this meeting that, you know, we're not able to do it because of some hostilities and so forth and so forth. So really, the question is, what's happening for me really primarily is what's happening with the land rights inquiry? How far are we, and when is the department going to really finalize that land rights inquiry? Secondly, Chair, or the last one, Chair, the Minister, Deputy Minister Kapa, promised obviously that there will be borehole and, you know, provided to the people. I just want to know, what is the progress in that regard? There were really issues that were raised by some of the smallholder farmers of Amachachu with regards to animal disease. What happened to those issues that were raised on the ground regarding the animal diseases? You know, the issues that the people were complaining about electricity. The report doesn't really cover those electricity issues. Some people were complaining that they were refused to be provided with water tanks because the government says the roads are too bad for them to drive to deliver the water. Farming of livestock, the people were requesting the shearing facilities. What happened to those requests, Chair? If DG can really provide us with the up-to-date information around these issues. Chair, I think that's really from where I'm going to stop. But really, I'm very worried, Chair, that we have not really made a single progress with regards to this, oversight visit. Really, our people are struggling on the ground. And we cannot just, you know, be getting report that we are in progress, we are collaborating, we are doing this. We want to really see the tangible things happening on the ground, solving the issues of land reform. We have just been in cases and we know what the situation is. We are still going to deliberate on the report around the cases and other areas with regards to their issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Tate Masipa. The Honorable Bao Kapa.
Dr. Kapa is hospitalized, Chair. Sorry, I thought you got the message.
Oh, no, thank you for informing us, Honorable Kapa. I wasn't aware of that, and there was no apology tendered on his behalf when we consumed the meeting. We wish him a speedy recovery and hope he can be back at home and back with us as soon as possible. Honorable members, is there any other honorable member on the platform who wishes to pose a question and have not been able to recognize?
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Ntate Masipa.
Can I just also indicate that we've got Henry Kruger is our new member from the Democratic Alliance on the platform. If you can recognize him, thank you very much.
Thank you. Dr. Kruger, how are you? You are muted. We can't hear a word you are saying, Dr. Kruger. You are muted.
Thank you, Chair. And I'm always happy to see you as well. We come a long way.
Yes.
I hope I can contribute towards agriculture, land reform, and rural development. Thank you, Chair, for the kind words.
Thank you, Dr. Kruger. You are most welcome in the committee, and we look forward to engaging with you in the various aspects that we are mandated to as a committee. Honorable members, we will hand back to the department and perhaps give the opportunity to the Deputy Minister, Honorable Kapa, to give input before we request the DG and the official. But before I can hand over to the Deputy Minister, I would also like to ascertain the issue of Amatatu Traditional Council. Mamu Kapa, can you mute your microphone? Thank you. I would also want to ascertain on the issue of Amatatu Traditional Council and be very clear on the matter. It is a traditional council that exists, that is on the ground. The chief is fully recognized and is earning a salary from the Department of COGTA, like all traditional leaders in the Republic. He's also got headmen that work under him, and they are also fully recognized and are earning a salary from the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs. Now, it cannot be that we sit here 7 months later and are not clear on what the land of Amatatu is. Speaking to the COGTA officials, they were able to spell out what the land of Amatatu entails. It is the 77 farms, including the village of Othe. Now we want the department to be able to give clarity on this. You must be able to respond directly on this finding, because this is what we were able to see during our oversight visit while we were in Kwaku, is that found not to be so by the department. And if it is not so, what is the department doing in ensuring that the land tenure rights of farm workers and farm dwellers, as well as the labor tenants that are there, the rights are being enforced? But if this is indeed the traditional council's land, what is the department's role in a traditional council's space? So please be able to clarify this matter, because it cannot take you 7 months to deal with this issue when we are able to get the answers on this matter on a phone call. Secondly, I would like to get a real understanding from the DM Mamu Kapa, as we were on the ground with her doing oversight. She, in the session we had during the public hearing, made a lot of commitments to the community of Kwaku. I would like to understand as to had she been able to visit Gwatyu since the departure of the portfolio committee's oversight? And if indeed it is so, what has been the deliverables to the people of Gwatyu? As a lot of the community was speaking about handling facilities, fencing, that the cattle are just wandering off to the road and causing accidents. There is also been some corner or a hot water problem for cattle in the area, which she had made a commitment is to attending to. So can we be able to get an understanding in terms of the deputy minister's role and what she's been able to provide to the community of Gwatyu as solutions, because the report given by the deputy by the director general was very thin on that. Honorable members, I will now hand over to the honorable deputy minister Mamu Kapa, and then hand over to the officials of the department for further responses. Manyauza.
Thank you very much, Chair Madiwomkhulu, honorable members, and also the department and any guests that might be in this platform. Thank you for the opportunity. Indeed, as a deputy minister, I feel strongly that say I need to upfront admit that the recommendations have not been effectively managed because of the reasons that I indeed don't think they are an excuse, but are the real experience on the ground. Responding to Honorable Hlape and the other members, including the chair, as to what is it that we sought to do. Yes, Chair, I've not been in that area once, because to an extent there was an obligation to go back to the kingdom to actually understand the areas that talk to traditional leadership. I do accept many criticisms that are saying instead of dealing with communities, we run to the traditional leadership. The issue for us to do that, it is because in my understanding, concrete experience when I was amongst the members that were there during the visit, it became clear that there is a gazetted certificate of the area, the jurisdiction of Amathathu Traditional Authority. The department has no doubt about that. However, the issue is these people have always been in that traditional authority in the land, all the members that reside in those villages or farms, if I may say so. But the issue, the farms were actually created on the Amathathu land, and therefore there's no difference now between the farms and the Amathathu traditional land. And Amathathu traditional land, Chair, also are actually part and parcel of the process of the minister as actually instructed by law to give back the land to the people and not to hold the land, I mean the traditional or customary land, in terms of the process that is in place now. That also takes us to summits and other activities in order to ensure that the land that is held by the minister in custody of traditional communities, including the land that is demarcated as traditional authority. That process includes Amachatu land. There are now these two processes, honorable members, that seek to say you are dealing with Amachatu, with the land of the customary land. That is the land that is in the hands of traditional authorities like yourself, Chair. Now, we are dealing with that in collaboration, in discussion, and engaging with kings as well as traditional authorities. And therefore, this is a matter of COGTA and ourselves. That's why it is an interministerial process. So I want to answer the fact that no one doubts that the traditional authority exists, because we have got the evidence that was presented publicly, and that we also have the records. Number two, this issue, there is no separate land in terms of the land that was created after Amachatu were chased away. Then that land was transformed into farms, commercial farms. Now you talk of the farms, you also talking about a traditional authority. And therefore, the traditional authority instruction and agreement is very clear, Chair. It's actually saying these farms were subdivided, and further they will be subdivided because many other people came in and there's congestion. There's no point where you can have others having farms doing all what is said, and yet there are also my people who were not participating in the farms that are now congested in the limited space. This brings to me to say the issue, in order to be unbundled and actually attended to properly, these land issues are dependent on the larger process, that of I interministerial committee, as actually said by the Deputy President. And we are now towards bringing to cabinet the implementation recommendations that need to be implemented in order to sort the matter of rural.
Honorable Deputy Minister. We are struggling to hear you.
Traditional customary land. Let me come to Egwende. Even if you talk of bringing, my God, am I? But I'm unmuted, Chair.
Yes, you are audible. We can hear you much better now.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm trying to move the position. And therefore, I'm saying we are in a state of readiness as the department. We have looked into the dipping tank issues, into the fencing issues, and this was done together with the province of the Eastern Cape. And the issue now is, how do you implement? Because it is not a departmental project, it is a community project. Farmers are ready, but farmers in any way exist in the same land. And I
Honorable Deputy Minister, we seem to have lost you. Are you still on the platform? Mamukapa, are you still on the platform? honorable members, will move to the DG, Dr. Ramasodi, and the officials of the department to pose the responses before we have follow-up questions. Dr. Ramasodi?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for the questions. Allow me to invite Mr. Zukile Pitji, who is currently the Chief Director in the space, and then I'll follow after him in terms of the responses, quite a few issues that we have got to deal with.
Perhaps the matter of his early departure from the oversight without providing answers to the committee can also be attended to, and we can get the answers that we were denied on our visit during the oversight. Paul Pitji, you are welcome. Zikali. There we go again, DG. It seems we are experiencing the same challenge we had in Queenstown.
I see he's on the platform, Chair, the last one, but maybe he's...
they also see him on the platform, but there's no one speaking. Bauzikali. Baupeche. Let's proceed, DG.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Let me just indicate that I fully understand and comprehend the impatience that the Portfolio Committee would have on the progress that has been made to date on this matter. And I would like to shine some light on what Honorable Matthias was saying. And this is what I've raised with the colleagues on our legitimacy as the department of engaging with the people, whether we have got to that level where we have got to get protection in order to engage with the people that we are about to serve. And that's something that from our side, we are looking at to say, how did we get to this state and how do we lose that legitimacy? Because our work is to be change agents in a particular space so that we can deliver the services that the people so much need. And I would like to first start there on the engagement. However, I would also like to reiterate that we're dealing with an issue that the Honorable Chair introduced in a way that says that when we look at the land audit, we also look at the land rights inquiry. Both in terms of an audit of 2015 and the land rights inquiry of 2017, there's an issue that maybe we have got to pause and reflect on, because this says that who owns the land and who was there, including the issues that Honorable Chair had raised on the Amateur traditional council and where they need to be. Chair has clearly articulated the 77 funds that are now being late claimed by Amachurch, and how the department is going to reflect on those. And in my engagement, I indicated the responsibilities of minister in terms of looking at this broad space where she can also utilize other interventions like the land redistribution to deal with the issues if they are beside the 1913 cutoff date. But the 1913 cutoff date, the honorable members would recall that the Chief Land Claims Commissioner was here with the Portfolio Committee and indicated to the Portfolio Committee the work that has been done, that there was a court order that said that the claims that were lodged post 19 in terms of the work that we have had was put into abeyance by a court order, and until such time that we finish the older claims. And I wouldn't repeat that discussion from the commissioner, but it's very important that this issue has been raised in Gwajude, has been raised in a number of occasions of how do we deal with this. I just needed to reflect that there is currently a court order around those claims that were made around land post 1913 on the engagement. There's also a debate that is currently even going pre-1913, sorry about that. There's also a debate that is currently happening in the communal land tenure space, where at the summit itself, there were issues to say that the claims have got to be much broader than what we are currently dealing with. And therefore, maybe Chair, as Honorable Tlape was asking, and also I think there was a question that came from Honorable Mato, and lastly, it came through, and Honorable Deputy Minister Tlape was indicating that the outcomes of the Land Administration and Tenure Administration Summit are ready. They are going through to Cabinet, and after Cabinet, we will be able to share those with the Portfolio Committee, but they are ready, and we will be able to share those at that stage. But the work has been done, and everything has been concluded. The work was led by Deputy Minister Squacha and the three Deputy Ministers, Minister Jeffries, Deputy Minister Jeffries, and Deputy Minister Babela. And they have concluded on the work culminating in that summit that we have had. So as soon as the outcomes are ready, I think we will request through you, Chair, to come and share those with you so that we close the loop on this issue on the outcomes of the summit that was held in May of this year. There were questions around whether we have got a multidisciplinary team as instructed by the Portfolio Committee. And I hear from the issues as engaged by Honorable Matthias that there is nothing that has been done. And I would like to say maybe the progress is not what we wanted to see, but there is work that has been done and engagements that have been done. Firstly, let me reflect on the multi-stakeholder team that was set up, and it's there in Annexure A that was shared with the Portfolio Committee, that there were meetings that were held immediately after the engagements. There were meetings held on the 14th, on the 17th, and 21st of February on this work with the Office of the Premier and all stakeholders, and then the 3rd of March. And there was work that was agreed to be done. And we have categorized that work in terms of the different levels, whether at the municipal level, provincial level, or national level. And all of it would culminate in a discussion that we need to have with the community. Because in the engagements, any needs analysis that is done for the people would be equal to what the department wants to do. And in the engagements that we have had with the community, it's quite clear that the community has got needs that they need to satisfy, and government has got to go in unison to do that through the DDF. I have indicated that there were a few departments that were still busy with the issues in Gwajude. Basic education, health, human settlements, and transport were the only ones that just had to finalize a few issues and submit to the department. So there's work that has been done in Gwajude. The Provincial Department of Agriculture has also been busy in Gwajude. They have been able to do groundwork in terms of the needs analysis, and they are the ones who are going to draw up a resource plan for Gwajude. Honorable Tlape and Honorable Breed, I think the issue, and I think Honorable Masipa, on youth development,
DJ, are you still there, DJ? The screen is frozen and you are not audible at all. Dr. Ramasodi, if we've lost the DJ in Tatendobe, could you take the platform? Tatendobe. Honorable members, you are scaring the officials away. They are all running away.
Okay, I'm moving the other. I had Plan B from Mayor Alicia's area of work as I cut off.
Thank you.
In terms of the questions that were asked, let me reorganize my office chair so that I can be able to continue. I was saying that in terms of the skills development that we have, it's a broad requirement that we need to have, Honorable Chair. We need to get an engagement where it will be in line with the needs of the people. So what we are going to do, as we engage, we then get a skills analysis and then we do a gap analysis in order to be able to satisfy what the people of Gwaju would need to have as part of skills development in the area. I was using an issue around farming, for instance, if somebody would like to have a vegetable production or animal production, that's what we would be able to satisfy. But for now, we were using NARISEC because it's something that we thought from a youth point of view, we'll be able to. There are bursaries that the department is allocating. You need to know the students that you might be able to cater on a particular year. There are quite a lot of agriculture programs that we offer outside of NARISEC, and therefore it will be a comprehensive engagement that we'll have on those areas. Now, it's very important, and I hear the impatience that the portfolio committee has on the progress is the impatience that I share. But at the same time, there's an issue around safety of the officials we have got to do this through the South African Police Service. Now, Honorable Masipa asks a question, or Honorable Mbabama, that as we were there, there was an indication, or is it Honorable Great? As we were there was an indication that we had managed to get SAPS to be with us on the work that we are doing. Yes, that indication was given during that time, and I think post the engagement, there was also an engagement with them on how do we then do this work that we are supposed to do. And the worry that we are having, I think for a broader term that I'm having, it's this issue of us as a department not having been able to go freely into areas that we have got to service, which for me becomes a leadership issue within the program. And I'll address that at the end of the engagement, Chair. There is an issue, Honorable Grid, where you say the other departments have not moved. I think in terms of the report that we are putting in front of you on the other departments are still to give work, but they have got to do some groundwork before submitting that, and we hope that they will be able to deal with the issues that we have on the space. I think DM had dealt with the issue of Amacharge, and I've managed to also talk to the DDG responsible for the engagement. Amacharge Traditional Council is a recognized council. The issues that were outlined in terms of this was around the land itself, and I think that the way that we have put it in the presentation is a little bit confusing, I have got to admit, because they are recognized. The issue that is at play at this moment is an issue around the land. Honorable Briet, as indicated, the multi-departmental intervention has been, there were four meetings already on the very same space. The issue that we are currently addressing is the assessment of the needs within a space that we have in Gwaju, as indicated. Honorable Marshall, on the collaboration, there's collaboration with the department. The issue around the land tenure administration and land administration and tenure bill, all of those would be contained in the outcomes as indicated. Honorable Masipa, the issue around the engagements with the COCTA, I would like to indicate, as indicated already, that the traditional council is recognized. The issue around the chief director in the province, and Honorable Mandela has indicated that there is a need for the chief director to come in account. Let me just indicate that as we sit and as we have a discussion, the chief director had indicated to me that he would like to take leave in terms of work and go on a retirement. The issues of needs analysis, what we have done on the borehole issues and other and fencing issues, we have gone broader from a supply chain management point of view. Once we are done with the needs analysis and they are concluded, it would be easier with the current system that we have provided to come up with boreholes and fencing, as we have got a newer system from supply chain management to deal with those. And therefore, it would be easy once we have got the meeting concluding on the needs analysis. I think, Honorable Chwete, the issue of the land rights inquiry and land audit, yes, they have taken long, but the ending point of this engagement is about the validation part, which involves the communities to say, we agree. Now, we have had engagements with Chief Namuntla Olamatanzi. That means that the traditional council, the community, and the other stakeholders that are there in Gwaju have got to agree to this land rights inquiry before it can be finalized. And that can only be finalized where there is a meeting, where there are convergences and indications from the communities, from the traditional council, and from the local stakeholders on what needs to be done. And that would also include the areas that have been highlighted by the chair on the 77 farms and the one village that we have of Amachachu. That's very important. Now, the issues that were done from a provincial point of view, department of view on the hard water and other areas, the department is currently addressing those issues. And I've had an indication that as they work on the draft resource allocation plan, that's the issues that they will deal with. I think I've gone through all the issues that were raised, Honorable Chair, by the honorable members on the issues on which. Thank you. And my apologies for the system letting me down in the midst of my responses, Chairperson.
No need to worry about the technology challenges. We don't have real control over these networks. They come and go, DG. Honorable members, those are the responses from the department. As you've heard, Honorable Deputy Minister Kapa, as well as the Director General, Ntate Ramasodi. Any follow-up questions? Honorable Kape.
Chair, I'm good. I just want to raise a concern that I have also noticed that on the plans, including those with Chrisanio on the water, bulk services and everything, don't have time frames. It will be prudent, Chair, that as and when the department engage with other departments, they should have plans that are time bound so that we are able to do proper oversight. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kape. Honorable Mamun Babama.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to clarify one thing. Farms were created over black-owned land all over South Africa, but none of it is given back to the traditional authorities. These farms in Gwaju are not communal land. I don't know of anywhere in South Africa where chiefs are presiding over farmland. So I think let us not get confused over this issue. The land in Gwaju is farmland. No chief presides over farmland all over South Africa. Why should Gwaju be different? Why should we give the land back to the churches when all over South Africa, kakate, it was black-owned land that was converted into farms? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Babama. Perhaps I should take you on a trip around South Africa and show you traditional leaders that preside over farming lands. I can give you a classic example of Nkosi Mkhulisi in Sandanese, and I'd be happy to take you for a tour there and see the wonderful work that the Tembus of Donnybrook are doing with the farming community there. Honorable Honorable Twete.
Thank you, Chair. I'm covered by Honorable Shape. Only, Chair, I would like to raise a concern about the issues that have been identified. As much as Gwaju land has been identified as an economic activities, certain activities there, I just hope, Chair, the department will have clear time frames or in this on the issue of this progress report that they have tabled. And that's the only thing, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Twete. The Honorable Matias. Tate Matias. The Honorable Memasho.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted also to add a little bit that we have an experience from our side here in Limpopo, Blobek municipality, where Chief Malboho is owning some of the lands that are the farms, but we ourselves as the communities with the chief in some of those farms, we have called investors to come and invest, and they created more jobs for our people in this area. And we also get some more food on those lands if we did not have skills. But in those farms that we have skills, our own people, they are dealing with the issue of farming those farms that are following under the chief. So I just wanted to clarify that the chiefs can also do better. It's just that maybe in other areas, but I think we have an experience of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Memasha. Akbare Briet.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry, I just switched devices right as you called my name. Chairperson, I think I'm quite covered. The one thing that the Honourable or that DG Ramasori said that I think we as a committee need to engage on And I think the department needs to do introspection about is he said we need to discuss the fact why we need SAPs to actually be able to perform our duties. And that is a thing that I think we've seen. We've seen it continually throughout our joint oversight, throughout our other oversights, and specifically at GWATU. And we need to ask ourselves that question. Why do they need SAPs? What is it? Is it because of institutional issues? Is it because of leadership? And that was just maybe my comment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Akbar Breed. The Honourable Ndate Masipa. Ndate Masipa.
Hi, Chair. I'm completely covered. I think the issue that has been raised by Honourable Breed, definitely I think we need to follow through with regards to the concern that we need to have subs deployed in order for the department to do the job. That's totally unacceptable, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Dr. Masipa. Dr. Kruger, any questions on your side?
Thank you, Chair. I'm covered. Thank you.
You are covered. DG, you have confirmed that Amatatu Traditional Council exists. It is recognized. Yet the issue is about the land. Can you clarify what you mean when you say the issue is about the land? Is the land under Amatatu Traditional Council? Or it is not. It is under state control and therefore administered by the minister. Because if the Amatatu Traditional Council exists, it has to have its land, which has been clearly defined as the 77 farms, with Ose as the village that is within their sphere. So what is the issue we are anticipating or we are grappling with on the land? Can you elaborate on that? Thank you. We'll hand over to the DG and the officials of the department for the last responses before we conclude the session.
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought that Chair would allow that one to pass, because the issue that is at hand on the land specifically is an issue around the land audit and the land rights inquiry, which would need to be concluded in the midst of all the stakeholders that are there, inclusive of where we are. This is state land. It was advertised, the 25,000 hectares that were there were advertised and were withdrawn, noting the complexities that we are having in Gwacho. And we would hope that with the involvement of the communities, with the involvement of the traditional council and the other stakeholders, we will be able to conclude on the land rights inquiry. We would be able to deal with the issues on the issues around land and tenure security in and around the land in Gwacho. And I wouldn't want to preclude that, because this is the question that the portfolio committee had asked.
Please mute your microphone. Thank you. You may proceed, DJ, and our apologies for that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And this is what the Portfolio Committee had implored the department to do, to be very expansive in terms of looking at the issue of Gwacho and not be simplistic in terms of addressing it. And I think that this engagement between the community, the traditional council, ourselves as the department and other stakeholders would be able to resolve on the matter that is currently at hand, Chairperson. Without giving you an answer to say that this is what we are going to do, I will allow the processes to unfold as instructed and guided, in fact, by the Portfolio Committee. There were questions around the dates that we have got to put. Definitely those will have the dates. The portfolio committee recall that when we initially had the departmental one only, there were dates that we had put up, but the advice that we got even from a broader team was that let's deal with the issues in total, and we'll be able to then provide the dates that are there. With the complexities that we are having here, let me just give a commitment that I will also try to personally attend to the issues in Gwaju, so that we draw out a plan that we can present to the portfolio committee. I would like to indicate, Honorable Chair, that the issue on how the department reflects on the people that we serve is very important to me. It's an issue that really has got to be dealt with from ourselves as the leadership of the department, that we can work freely and engage with the stakeholders that we have got to serve without any accompaniment that we are currently doing, because it does not bode well for where as a department and therefore as service providers and change agents in our communities. I would like to indicate, Chair, that we welcome the inputs that have been made. I will, in conclusion, also be discussing with Honorable Deputy Minister Sapa on the issues around the quick wins on the boreholes and also the cans and also the handling facilities that we have got to do in Gwaju. I would also be engaging and reporting back to Parliament on the engagement of the 1st September, the first week of September, and also dealing with the issue around the progress report on the land and how the land will be dealt with. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member.
Thank you, Honorable Tate. Thank you, Tate Ramasodi, the DG of the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, as well as the Deputy Minister, Mamu Kapa, in absentia for the responses you have afforded to the Portfolio Committee. Honorable members, let us take this opportunity to thank the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development for having participated in today's session, and also mapping a way forward as to how we are dealing with the recommendations that were made by the Portfolio Committee on the Gwaju oversight. We will be following the process and looking into the issues so that we can be able to bring a speedy resolution to the issues of people of Gwaju. Let us also thank our guests that have been part of our portfolio committee meeting, and thank our distinguished members of the media who had participated. Let me thank you all, honorable members, for having attended the session and your engagement in the robustness that you continuously show in posing questions to the department and holding it accountable for the work that they do. I want to wish you well in the rest of the day's proceedings as we have plenary this afternoon, and also wish you a great week ahead. Send our love and greetings to your loved ones and stay well. We thank the staff of the Portfolio Committee for having enabled us to have a successful meeting through these gadgets and on a virtual, and the endless support they always give to the committee. So we thank you all. The meeting stands adjourned. Have a wonderful day. Bye, Danki.
Long live, hey, long live.
Okay, so
much. Thank you.
Thank you, Shalo.
Siyabonga. Come on.
Network is like with village. I was affected the office.
Recording stopped.